is not counted on the pasuk kineh mitzvah Torah, or that mitzvah is compared to a candle, or the Torah is compared to a great light. What's the difference between a candle and a big light? So the Gemara says that a candle is very good in a very small area, like the Dikas Chametz. You have to check a little corner, the candle is very good. But if you have a pitch black and you want to light up an entire room, so a little candle is not going to do the trick. You have to have a much, much more powerful light. The Gemara says that a nair is great, a mitzvah is phenomenal, mitzvahs are unbelievable, but they're limited in scope. They're very, very good in their da'olam. In this full area, they're very, very good. But the light of Torah is something that's that just illuminates wherever you are. It's not limited to any particular time in any place. So that's what the Mefarshim explained, that mitzvahs, by their very nature, are limited. Let's say the Bashi have a mitzvah of da'olaminim. So the da'olaminim is a beautiful, wonderful mitzvah. It illuminated the cracks on Sukkos. It lit up our entire da'olam on Sukkos. We did the yetzir, the mitzvah of da'olaminim. When the Maaseh Sukkos is over, so all you have left is either you're making, you're lying the rabbis as rogue and making liquor out of it, or you're saving it to love and a rabbis to burn with the chavim. There's very little that a lot is going to go try to sell Nesrik now after Sukkos. See how much you can get for it. So it can't do you all that much. But Torah art, but you can learn the sugyas of the Alminim, you can learn the same geshmak, the same slavas, you can learn the sugyas of the Alminim as you did on Sukkos itself. And Torah art, Torah illuminates, the limit of Torah illuminates under all circumstances, it doesn't know any bounds. So you always have to say that when you start learning like Lulav HaGolos right after Sukkos is over. So you have to always just put everything into divine perspective. So with that introduction, let's get back to right back where we left off about a month ago. So see if we can, okay, we'll try to chash a little bit to put us into, we left off literally in the middle of the sugya. So let's take a little bit of a step back. Of course, the theme of the Mishnah and Daf Chavtes was to begin to delineate all the different Lulav of Da'almina, beginning with Lulav HaGolos, Lulav HaYavish. And the Gemara, on the beginning, the first few lines, the Gemara of Tessa Beis, let's take a look again inside. The Gemara made an observation that, Kaposik Tatani, that the Mishnah doesn't draw any distinctions as to which day of Sukkot we're talking about, which leads us to believe, Lo Shnei Yom Tov Rishon, Lo Shnei Yom Tov Sheni. It's referring to either the first day of Sukkot or second and subsequent. Here, Yom Tov Sheni does not mean Yom Tov Sheni, so Golis. That's not all what the Gemara means. Yom Tov Sheni means Chol Moed Adar, means the whole week after the first day. So the Mishnah doesn't say that the Lulav HaYavesh or Lulav HaGolos is only possible on the first day. So that leads us to believe it's possible throughout the entire week. So the Gemara questions, why should that be so? Bishlam HaYavesh, so Nunu, I understand why Lulav HaYavesh is no good the whole week. That I can understand. Because Hadar being in Valeka, because after all, you need a Hadar. The Lulav has to be beautiful. And somehow the Psul of Hadar, the Psul of lack of beauty, that's something that concerns us the entire week. But Gozol the Gemara is a big problem, and that's going to set the stage for a whole series of other sugyas coming around the bend, mitzvah b'aveir, lechem, things of that nature. But for right now, we want to focus more on the bishlam upon. We want to focus on those four or five words, bishlam yavesh hadar b'inu v'leika. That the Gemara had no problem with. The Gemara had no hesitation to tell us that lulav yavesh is possible even after the first day. So that's a little bit striking because there are other psulim that seem to be not all fundamentally different than Lulav HaYavesh, which we know for a fact are actually kosher after the first day. And that's the Gemara a little bit later on. That Tosfos makes reference to a sugya on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, where the Gemara tells us, on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us a story about Rabbi Chanina, six lines or so from the top. The first little one is Ein in the Hadar. Rabbi Chanina on the Vav and Beis. Rabbi Chanina matful bo v'nofik bo. Rabbi Chanina would first take a little bit of a bite out of his esrog, and then he would be yotzei the mitzvah with it. So Gemara says, what? Well, Rabbi Chanina kasha besnisa. It's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that an esrog hachoser is possible. The esrog is missing. We sit there, we buy our esrog, we'll look at it and seeing does it have a little scratch, a little mash, or any posh, any possibility of something missing. Rabbi Chanina took a bite out of the esrog, and he had no problems with that. So according to Rabbi Chanina, how would he resolve the Mishnah? He says, no. Bishlam v'astisim Rabbi Chanina lav kasha kam yotav frishin kam yotav sheni. That when the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Chanina took a bite out of his esrog, that meant that Chol Moed he took a bite out of his esrog. It's interesting, the Gemara quotes the story later, and the Gemara had a little bit of a problem with this. The Gemara says, how can you take a bite out of an esrog? You're not allowed to eat breakfast before you do a mitzvah. That was like the whole problem with Gemara. Somehow, can you imagine a guy who bought a $150 esrog and he's munching away in a Chol Moed, and that's the only problem that bothers us. Well, how's he eating his Cheerios and esrog before, he's raising bread esrog before he's doing the mitzvah. But in terms of being yotzei to the mitzvah, the Gemara has no qualms, no hesitations. Can't be out the fisher, can't be out the shenim. So this sets the stage for the question that all the Rishonim have to be bothered with. That what is the difference conceptually between a lulav HaYavesh, that the Gemara said with absolute conviction
that Hada Be'ilin V'Leika, that a Lulav HaYavish is possible for the duration of Sukkos, in contrast to the Esek HaChaser, that's perfectly okay after the first day. What is the difference between the two? So we began a couple of weeks ago, we barely scratched the surface of the sugya. We began to give Tosas' approach to this topic. So basically, we take a look at the Tosas of Chavtes and Beis, let's just recap very, very quickly. So Tosas basically says one fundamental yesod. Tosas says that, let me find where he picks it up from. Tosas says, Lakachnira, four lines from the bottom of the Tosas. The bottom Tosas of the page, the test for days, four lines from the bottom, the end of the line. Tosas says, here's the yesod. Lakachnira, the haimu taiba. Mishum diyom rishon diaraisa begvulin, ushayomi dirabonin zechel abitosh. He says, first of all, says Tosas, let's get our facts straight. Are we dealing with the mitzvah diaraisa, or are we dealing with the mitzvah dirabonin? So it is clear, the Mishnah says explicitly, that we are only dealing with a mitzvah derabbanan, because midda araisa, the mitzvah of mitzvah aminim, is only the kach b'chamei amarisha. In the Beis Hamikdash, it was an entire week, but since the mikdash, it's only midda rabbanan zechel mikdash. So since we're only dealing with the mitzvah derabbanan, that gives us the right to play around a little bit. Some things are okay, some things are not okay. How do you know which things are okay, which are not? So Taisus works really, really hard. The Taisus says hilkach. At the end of the third line of the Baruch Hilkach, the ikur halakichach yom dal minim. Nobody would say, you can get away without an esrog. We'll just let you have three other minim is good enough. That's ridiculous. That's called chosid ikah lakicha. Or lakich l'chal echad. Or no one's going to say, let the chazan take the wool, and everyone else will look around and smile. They'll be yates with the chazan. That's absurd. Because that's the ikah mitzvah. That's the ikah lakicha. So when you're dealing with either the ikah chetza for dal minim, or you're dealing with the ikah maisa mitzvah of lakicha, so b'shah yom kein deraisa, then for sure, called the tikkun rabbanan kein deraisa. That's the starting point of Tosas. So whatever is from the Iker mitzvah, either mitama chetza or mitama maisa, that for sure we're going to insist upon throughout the week of Sukkos. But once we have a maisa mitzvah, and once we have a chetza of dalmin, the details are not going to concern us all that much. Just because we got a few psulim here and there, my rabbis aren't up to par. Big deal. My esrog's miskilim, who cares? That doesn't really bother. Doesn't interest me. As long as the Iker mitzvah is being mekuyemes, the details don't bother us, because again, it's not deraisa anyway, it's not derabanan. Chazal can say whatever they please. So Chazal formulated the mitzvah derabanan, ignoring in a sense the details. What's the problem with Tosas though? This explains very well which Gemara. This explains the Esrog HaChoser, but it doesn't do all that much for the Lulav HaYavish. So Tosas says, we don't bother Lulav HaYavish. Lulav HaYavish is the exception to the rule. Right? V'chein b'hadar mishum hidr mitzvah. Because Chazal had their eye on the mitzvah, and they really wanted people to have nice new love them, because they can't even be supposed to do mitzvahs in a nice, pretty way. So therefore, Chazal said, you know what? We're going to insist that all the psulei hadar are going to spill over after the first day, even though conceptually it really shouldn't have been. Based on the model that Tosas created, that the ikra lakicha yeah, the ikra dalaminim yeah, the details no, Lulav HaYavish should have fallen into the category of details. But except for this court, this concern of Hidur Mitzvah, so therefore they upped the ante a little bit and said that, by the way, the Psuli Hadar are going to be a problem after the first day. But the other ones, about the Chaser, or the Shaul, say not owning the Levin Esrog, or Chaser, Lo Tikun, they were never Misake, Ad Kan Devriatis. So if I say, what can we say about this Tosas conceptually? What's Tosas' starting point? In terms of the relationship between the mitzvah of Dalaminim on the first day, which is their Aisha, and the Takonis of Yechman Zaka is Echel Mikdash, which is of course on the Midrabbanan. What's the baseline of Tosas? Well, the baseline of Tosas is that it doesn't really bother me that I have a Pasul Luluf. And it doesn't really bother me that I have a Pasul Esther. And it doesn't bother me that I have Psulim and the Dalaminim galore. That doesn't really bother me. That's okay, I'm fine with that. I can still fulfill the Takanas of Yechim and Zakah Zechim make this with Pasul Minim. What bothers me is, if I don't have Minim altogether, what bothers me is, if I didn't do a Lakicha altogether, what bothers me is that if I never, if the mitzvah looks ugly, something, Mavatos or Kelevan Veim, those are the things that bother me. But the fact that there are some almost insignificant details missing, even though those details are very important on the first day, if you have a Luvin Esrog, that even Esrog with a hole in it, you're not Yetzir, it's an Esrog Yachasin, you're not Yetzir with the Raisa with that on the first day. Somehow Tosas doesn't have any problems with that. Why is that? What's Pshat in Tosfos? What's the Bi'ur Dov in Tosfos? Is that what we would have said? Is that our starting point? That's our baseline? At the time of Mashiach of Yezu, he's always saying, what's the baseline? What's the starting point? It's always when you learn the sugya, you have to, what would I have said? What is Tosfos? What's the starting point? So the starting point of Tosfos is that the standards are not the same. Is that correct? Should that be so? What would we think the din would be? We have a din in the Chumash, Kav Chamim Rishon. Mar says, Bizman Shabbat Mikdash HaKayim was only one day, Chutz the Mikdash. And now, Mishachar Vamikdash, Hiskin Rabbi Yechman Zakash, and Lulav Nidruch Hoshiv HaZeich HaMikdash.
You said that when it's Zechel and Mikdash, it doesn't have to be so exact, as long as it reminds me when they did it.
Oh, it's like the fish is already getting down, the Nakuda that we just barely had to scratch on a couple of weeks ago. Let's see if we can formulate that all in a little bit more Lomdisha terminology. That fish is clearly right that we're almost like willing to ignore some of the details. Why? So that the fish is telling me because the goal is more Zechel and Mikdash oriented than Netilas Lulav oriented in a sense. So comes the Brisker Rav in his Chedushim in Maseches Menachos, and he suggests the following. He says, a fundamental hakir, a fundamental shaila, how to understand mitzvahs that were instituted in Zechel HaMikdash. There are a lot of them. We have a lot of things throughout the course of the year that were instituted in the Rabbanah Zechel HaMikdash, to rattle off a few, according to Ben Rishon's Versa Omer, Korech is Zechel HaMikdash, Lulav is Zechel HaMikdash, we got a bunch of them, Zechel HaMikdashes. Yesh lachor, what's the nature of the takonas of Zechel HaMikdash? Is Zechel HaMikdash almost the background? Zechel HaMikdash is the reason. Zechel HaMikdash was what gave Chazal the mission to institute a certain din. But once they instituted the din, the formulation of the din itself was not called Zechel HaMikdash. Zechel HaMikdash is the Tam HaDover. What's the name of the game? What's your name of the mitzvah? Netilas Lulav. It's like Moshe Bar Dov Adonia. What's the name of the mitzvah of lighting Chanukah candles? Halachos Ner Chanukah. There was a historical background that happened, and there's a Nes, and there's a Echel Nes, and a whole Chagadah that happened that prompted Chazal to make this Takana. But once the Takana was made, the name of the game is Halachos Ner Chanukah. And therefore, it has to be a Maisa Hadlocha. It's not enough just, let's say, the Moshe. A person lights a doesn't light Neres Chanukah. I don't know. He comes to the first night of Chanukah and he spins his dreidel and he eats his latkes and he says, "I remember the Neis and Chashbonoim." Okay, so that's not the Takana. The Takana was the Lachos Neres Chanukah, and therefore there's a din. What's called the Neir? What's called the Maisat Lachman? How much is a Shirin? All the din, all the details were instituted because the name of the game is Lachos Neres Chanukah. The impetus behind it was a Zeichel and Neis, but the name of the game is Lachos Neres Chanukah. So is that the Pshat of Zeichel Mikdash also? That the reason behind it, the motive, was to render the base of Mikdash, but at the end of the day, the formulation was called Mitzvah Tefillas Lulav. Or no, that's not the Pshat B'chol. The Pshat is that not only was the motive Zechel Mikdash, the name of the game is Zechel Mikdash. That means the mitzvah is Zechel Mikdash. Elohim. Chazal were not misaking that Zechel Mikdash could just be fulfilled by sitting around and just thinking. It's like the Sefer Chinuch. So they said you have to do a maisa, you have to do something to get you to that framework, to get you to the point of Zechel HaMikdash. But at the end of the day, the mitzvah, the essence of the mitzvah is Zechel HaMikdash. By shaking a lulav, that creates the mindset of Zechel HaMikdash and the key lick in the mindset of Zechel HaMikdash. The Netilas Lulav is almost secondary. The Netilas Lulav is what ultimately is the engine that's going to get you to the point of Zechel HaMikdash. It's almost like the chicken before the egg. What's causing what? Is Zechel HaMikdash the engine that's caused the Takanas HaChamba of the Netilas Lulav? Or did Chazal say, shake a lulav so that you can get to the point of Zechel HaMikdash is what the real goal is altogether? It's a brisker turn. How do you understand what Zechel HaMikdash is all about? No, Ma'arif Kamina, the answer is obvious. Ma'arif Kamina. Just how serious are the details? If you hold that the name in the mitzvah is ultimately l'kach d'mechem, so then how can that Netilas Lulav be anything else than the model of the Torah for Netilas Lulav? There is a model in the Torah called Netilas Lulav. That means all four minim, and the also have to be dura, and the also have to be kempi, and has to be chaser, it has to be lachem. All the details have to be present, or else it's nishkin Netilas Lulav. So if Tosfos is willing to negotiate which details are important and which are not, just the mere fact that Tosfos is willing to forego some of the details, something Brisker Rav is a raya brura that the details don't matter because the name of the mitzvah is not Netilas Lulav, the name of the mitzvah is Zechel HaMikdash. Now,
Taisus falls back and says, if you don't drink a lulav, that's not enough. That's like a guy sitting around and just, you know, just contemplating the base of Mikdash. So you need a mice in a tefillah's lulav, but it doesn't have to be necessarily a kosher lulav. It doesn't have to be a kosher esrog. It can't be that you only took 3 minim, because that's not called in the tefillah's dal minim. It can't be that the chazan took a new wash. That's not called lakachim. That's a nothing. And because of a court, they had to throw a lulav yabesh into the mix because they didn't want people to do ugly mitzvahs. But that was like almost like a afterthought. But an esrog chazan doesn't bother me, says the Mishnah, for that very reason. So let's test the Brisker Rav's theory now, because l'chayr, this theory of the Brisker Rav goes way beyond lulav. This should have relevance in other areas of Zecher Mikdash as well. So why did that Brisker Rav appear in Maseches Benachas and Lech Samach Vav? Because that's the Sfira Sama. That's the Sfira Sama. So let's take a look. I think I sent it on the comments last time around. It's by an Odo. So it's an old Yom Shir. I think it's yet to be ready to transform to the for the WhatsApp group, I think you should be there. Some of love, I think you should be there, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there, okay. So let's take a look at the last few lines before the Mishnah of the Some of Vav and Aleph. Right before the Mishnah, Gufa. Amar Abaye, Mitzvah L'mimne Yoymei, Mitzvah Mimne Shavuot. There are four lines before the Mishnah. Mitzvah Mimne Yom, Mitzvah Mimne Shavuot. There is a mitzvah that when you count for Yisrael Oymet, to count the days, as it says, Tisbu Chamishim Yom, as well as to count the weeks, as it says, Shiva Shavuot Tisbalach. So it sounds like that's like a no-brainer. Everyone agrees that. Two Pesuch Berchom, what's the Shah? Of course you have to count both. All of a sudden, the Gemara tells Rabbanim Debei Ravashi, Manu Yomi Manu Shavuot. The Rabbanim and the Yeshiva Ravashi used to do this. That line of the Gemara itself is a pillar for. Does the Gemara tell us that the Rabban in the house of Ravashi, they used to put on tefillin also? Thank you. And they used to eat matzah and pesach. And they didn't do melacha on Shabbos. So, if that's the din, why would we think otherwise? The Teretz says, because the Gemara has the next line. Ameimah money yom v'lo money shavuot. Because Ameimah, who was from that same period of time, did not count shavuot. He only counted the yomim. Why? The Gemara said, Amar Abaye mitzvah l'mem nishnahim, it's a false of chumash, tis b'chumash yom shiva shavuot. So why did Meimar not count the weeks? Oma zechle mikdashu. He said, yeah. Sfira Sarim is only zechle mikdashu was banah. There is no carbon oimer, and therefore the whole thing is derabon. Anyway, zechle mikdashu, therefore don't bother counting shavuos. Very startling statement. I mean, a Meimar couldn't spend the next 3 seconds saying the shavuos also for good luck. What's the answer? So he had no need to. There's no kiyum, there's no mean to do it. We don't just do things because, you know, we have time on our hands to do it. If there's a halachic kiyum behind it, then, you know, name of hell, there's nothing to be gained. You counted the day, you're done, you finish, you're good to go. There's no need to count the shavuos. Amar zechle mikdashu. So, the Brisker Rav, what's pshat Meimar? It's clear as day, what's pshat Meimar? So, zechle mikdashu, you don't have to replicate the mitzvah. The mitzvah midirabbanon of shavuos oimer b'zman hazeh is not a mitzvah shavuos oimer. It's a mitzvah of Hindi Mucham Zun Lekai mitzvah Zaseh Shal Zeich LeMikdash. But Rav Yisai, now comes the million dollar question. We don't follow Meimar. We follow the practice of the Rabban Debei Ravashi. In our Siddur it says the Shavuos. So what's pshat in Amach Loikas with the Meimar? Why didn't everybody else? My Meimar was the Das Yochan in this story. He was the only one involved counting the Shavuos. Everybody else, all the other Rabban, all the other Maran did. So what's pshat? Why did the other Amoraim insist on counting the Shavuos? What does that tell us about their view of Zeich HaMikdash as Sfiras Oimer?
Possibly the difference between addition and subtraction. If I like a little cluster, something was missing, so it's not being able to add something small, because like a why not kind of thing.
It's what I mean. You want to say, you want to argue that the Rabban and the Rav Ashi fundamentally agreed to a name as Lomdus,
right.
But it was kind of like a why not? Like they have nothing to lose kind of thing.
Right,
okay, but again, you know, the question is, you know, in terms of pure lumdus, it's hard to explain. If something is not really accomplishing anything, so like, you know, the Gemara almost makes it sound like there's machloikis here. It doesn't make it sound like the Rabbanim just did it and Meimar did it. The Gemara almost presents us two different approaches to Sfiras Oimer.
Well, if you don't count both, then it's like having 3 minim. You know, it's completely negligent.
Ooh, yes. Interesting. Okay, that's an interesting idea. He's saying that it could be that the Rabban and the Rav Ashi wouldn't run Meimar's lumdus. That you don't really have to replicate the mitzvah, but you have to do the basic tzuras a mitzvah, And Yomah without Shavuos is not even just a mitzvah. Did you say anything to that one? Possibly.
Well, you just say it has to be done in the best possible way. They could both be saying Zecher LeMikdash, but they both have to be done in the most pristine way possible, meaning the mitzvah of Lulav or the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, we're not doing it in the shame of Lulav or Sfiras HaOmer, we're still doing it in the shame of Zecher LeMikdash, but it still has to be done in the most pristine
way. Okay, but the question is, if you really believe, it's almost like similar to saying that it's almost like a go the extra mile, but I want to present it more like a Lumdash HaMachlekes.
There's no Yiduch.
What?
There's no Yiduch.
No, it's not a question of the Hebrew or not. The question is, I understand Amemer. Amemer is Lomdus, I understand. But Amemer is the baseline. Amemer says, my goal at every night of Sfiras HaOmer like the Amemer is to remember the Beis HaMikdash. I can't just sit around twiddle my thumbs around. I got to do something that, like, half-baked Sfira. So I do a half-baked Sfira. And you're right, it may not be the most beautiful Sfira, but it's hard to call that a little bit Yavesh. It's not really a lack of Hebrew. It's just I didn't do the job, but that's okay. So what was the Nakuda? Why did the Rabbanu disagree?
But then held it as two separate mitzvahs. The Lashon of the Gemara.
It's part of that whole story about one mitzvah, two mitzvahs, maybe. So I think that the answer to this question is really a such a fundamental question in terms of our sugya, but it ultimately boils down to Machlokes Rishonim and Hilchos Sfiras HaOmer. The Gemara seems to say that Sfiras HaOmer is on a Zech LeMikdash. You open up the Rambam, you open up the Sfiras HaOmer. What does the Rambam say? Mitzvahs in the Heges b'chomach b'chol zman. The Rambam holds that Sfiras HaOmer is a deraisa, even the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. You don't need the Korban HaOmer. Whether you say the conventional wisdom that you don't need the Korban HaOmer altogether for Sfiras HaOmer, it's a separate mitzvah. Or you say Reb Chaim's razzle dazzle that the potential, since we Rambam pasuk is makruv rach b'shem bayis, so you have potential like Korban HaOmer. That's already a whole lomdus within the Rambam. But tachas, bottom line, the Rambam says you count Sfiras HaOmer in Bridgefield and Tosh Shemayin Tess, last Sfiras HaOmer yet to Midaraisa. The Rambam's against the Gemara. The Gemara says Zecher LeMikdash. What's the answer, obviously, according to the Rambam?
They argue.
The Rambam held that was the Nekudas HaMachlokes. The reason why all the other Rabbanim didn't buy into a name, and the reason why we ultimately don't buy into a name, is because we hold that the fundamental premise is wrong. Sfiras is not the Rabban, Sfiras is the Raisa. If that's the Pshat, if the Rambam's Pshat in the Gemara is correct, so it comes out, a Meimah's Lomdus in Zech LeMikdash is right in theory, except it's incorrect application to Sfiras HaOmer. Because Sfira, by the way, happens to be a wrong application of that principle, because Sfira is deraisa as well as that. But the Ikaron, a Meimah's approach to Zech LeMikdash is fundamentally right.
So then a little of
a Yavesh. Oh! So it could be that, says the Brisker Rav, that this Gemara may still end up being a Raya to Tosos, in effect. The Brisker Rav tried to say, you see from a Meimar that Tosos is right. How can you bring a right from a Meimar? Nobody follows a Meimar. The answer is, you're right, up the Brisker Rav. We don't follow a Meimar, not because he's not correct about his lomdus in Zech LeMikdash, because he's not accepted the halacha about his lomdus about Sfiras HaOmer, because we hold in our heart and soul Sfiras deraisa, as well as that. But Lu Yitzu would be the Rabban, the Taka would not have to be replicated perfectly, because it's not a key of Sfir, it's a key of Mikdash. So says the Brisker Rav, it could be according to the Rambam that a Meimah is right on target for our purposes. We're not learning Sfiras HaOmer, we're learning Lulav. A Meimah is a good raya for Tosis.
It's just as easily possible that the Talmidim and Yeshiva argued on the Lamas.
Oh, so now turn around and say like this. But Tosis themselves in Menachas Nasam of Vav happens to hold a very famous Tosis Zech LeMikdashu. Tosis writes in Nira the Besavich Hashecha Yochel Avarech. The Ein Tzoch Lahamtin Hashem Vadei Laila gave you Sveikah Derabonim. This is a famous pshat that most shuls put into practice. The Ma'aseh today, you're allowed to count Sfiras HaOmer Shmoshes. Why? Sveikah Derabonim Lekula. Now again, not everyone agrees that. The Rambam would disagree, and the Rambam disagrees for other reasons. But Tosis Shita is that the Ikra didn't count Sfiras HaOmer, and all the shuls that do this rely on this Tosis. Sveikah Derabonim Lekula. Aye, but we paskin like Rabbanu the Rav Ashi. What's the answer? What does Tosis hold? That even the Rabbanu the Rav Ashi held Sfira is the Rabbanu as well as that. Nobody argued with a Meimer on that. What was the Nekudas of Machlokes a Meimer and the Rabbanu the Rav Ashi? Not a Machlokes Nuchas Sfiras HaOmer, but a Machlokes Nuchas what?
Zechel
HaMikdash. So it comes out that there's no question, says the Brisker Rav, that a Meimer is right on Tosis' team. There's no question that a Meimer is mamish a source, the Valdika source for Tosis. But what's not clear is that a source that we're comfortable in bringing, because it's a source that we don't really pass it like. So according to the Rambam, yeah, we do really follow Maimon, just we don't follow his details about Sfiras Omer because we all Sfiras Deraisa. But his Lomdus about Zeich HaMikdash is on target, and therefore we can extrapolate from the up to Dalad Minyan. Whereas according to Tosfos, this Tosfos Menachos doesn't bode that well for the Tosfos in Sukkah. Because according to Shittas HaTosfos, that we fundamentally also agree Sfiras Derabbanan, and we still count weeks, because we hold you have to mamash replicate the mitzvah. Literally, that is not in sync with the Tosfos in Masech HaSukkah. So if I say, should there be anything else before we move on back to the Dalmina part of the sugya? Should there be anything else that should depend on this? Whether Zeich LaMikdash is a real maisa mitzvah derabanan, or it's just kind of the maisa just there to help you get to the mindset. And not all Zeich LaMikdash necessarily create equal this way.
Right, you might want to be mechalik whether the Zeich LaMikdash is taking a mitzvah that was done and you're recreating it, or if you're doing a new maisa, that's a Zeich LaMikdash.
That may be true, but I mean, both, usually Zeich LaMikdash is recreating, that's the goal.
Well, I think of like Korach is, well, it's kind of.
Korach is recreated from the Hillel.
So it's not a pure.
Well, depending on what you think was in that original Kricha. Right? If you think that the original Korach had meat in it, so then you're right, it's not a pure recreation. If you think the original Korach only had matzah and maror in it, so then it's a perfect replica. Right? What's the answer to that question? Did it have meat in it or not? It's a suffix in the Maxwell House I got it. They put the word Pesach into parentheses, whether it had meat in the original sandwich or not. We're getting back to that story. So, every year when we get to that point, my kids ask, so which one do we say? I never remember from year to year whether you said parentheses or not. There's some years I still see myself one night to the next, I don't remember what I said the night before. So, it could be another possible Nafkamina, which may not fit into everything, every clue that we're saying now, but it should be an Nafkamina. Does it make sense to make a bracha on a mitzvah of Zeich LaMikdash? If you hold that it's a maisa mitzvah midrabbanan, then of course why not? You make a bracha on Neis Chanukah, Christ Megillah, Zidayim, why can't you make a bracha on a mitzvah midrabbanan? But if the nature of Zeich LaMikdash is just almost like a machshava bihalma, so then generally speaking, you don't make brachas and machshavas. So they says, you don't make a bracha on bitul chametz. It's balei, you don't make brachas and machshavas.
They're just al brachas.
What? Just only al- the cheap brachas. The only the.
Even
the
if it was a maisa, we don't make a bracha when I leave an amah unpainted. So that would be even on a maisa example.
I would say that's a little bit different. That's more like an iser. That's more like there's not really a mitzvah to do that. That's I'm not supposed to finish my house. That's more like a refraining from something. It's not like a maisa mitzvah. I would guess.
Well, the zeichel chur. You make bracha on kar.
Oh. So I'm simply saying, well, we don't make a bracha karech. The Gemara says that b'feirush, we don't make a bracha karech. Achol matzah maror lo livruch, you don't make a bracha. So some of the Rishonim say, you know why you don't make a bracha karech? Because the Tavli is Zeich LaMikdash. So everyone jumps in those Rishonim and say, wait. So why do you make a bracha on? Talaminim, Sfiras Omer, according to many. So that's a very, very shaky answer. The Pashup Shad is the reason why we don't make a bracha karech. It's for a totally different reason. Other Rishonim say, what's bracha you're going to make? You just made a bracha. You just made Achilas Matzah and Achilas Morah. So what's the new bracha going to be? Achilas Matzah Morah. You just made the two brachas. So what's going to be the new bracha? Achilas Matzah Morah B'yachad.
Yeah,
Al-Korech. According to Hill, this is Achilas Matzah, Achilas Morah. You just take the two brachas, add them up together, two and two equals four. I made the bracha, Achilas Matzah Morah. So this is the source for the famous.
Isn't it just Das Yachid?
Yeah, the Gemara says it behaves a little bit of the Gemara says the only reason why we do is because it was never Nimnu Begomer against Hillel. If Hillel would have been outvoted, then we wouldn't be doing it. Since Hillel was never outvoted, then we make a Zeich LaMikdash. So many of the Rishonim, Shulchan Aruch included, says the reason why we don't make a bracha on Korach is because of the you made the bracha. That's why Shulchan Aruch quotes the practice not to be mafsik from Alchaz Matzah to lift the Korach. That's the pellet, because the Shulchan Aruch quotes to say Zeich LaMikdash Gilel right then and there. And the Mishnah Berurah says, what are you saying it for? It's a hefsek. The Pashup Shad, that's not a hefsek. That's the mitzvah, Zeich LaMikdash. So the Mishnah Berurah says, it's Nira L'Loimar, Dulei D'Mistafina, but he says, Nira L'Loimar, that there's a mistake in the text of Shulchan Aruch. What it's supposed to say is to say Zeich LaMikdash Gilel, not after. Before, but after. So if you say it afterwards, then it's not a hefsek.
We don't say anything like that by Lulav on Homoy.
There's no zecher after this, right? Right. Yeah. Right. I don't By sphere we have. So you wouldn't make a little bit. Anyway, again, this is just food for thought from this place. So getting back to that story, let's put aside for over for a little while. Back to the Alminim. So the bottom line is that Yitzim and Dvarim by Alminim is that Tosfos is solving this dilemma, the difference between Luba Yavesh and Esrei Chosher, is that basically all the psulim, except for the Ikari Adinim, should not carry over.
So why are we making a bracha?
Yeah, according to this Shtichel Torah, the Mishnah Berurah, why are we making a bracha? Right. That's why I said I'm just drawing it out for the thought. You're right.
Can there be mitzvahs to be Zeich Lamikdash?
And you want to argue...
Want to put a new mitzvah in place, the same way they put another mitzvah.
Right, but it's hard, because first of all, even the bracha that we say doesn't reflect it. There's no mention of the Zeich Lamikdash in the Nusach HaBracha. And generally speaking, we wouldn't expect, like the Machshava, the Ketim, to get such a bracha. I don't know. It's a strange thing, right? It's not a very strange thing. It's a strange thing. But Achoponim, at least we have Mahalachim Tosfos, whether that Tosfos is related to the Gemara Menachos or not, Ayin Biskarav, but at least we have a beer, some kind of a beer in the Tosfos. Notwithstanding what Tosfos says, the Ran, if you take a look at the Ran, and if you give them the days without their rift, those who have the regular Gemara, so those who have the new Gemara, I still can't ever tell you about anything is on with that, but the regular Gemara is the time to give them the days. So take a look at the Dibur Maasel Mihu. The last Dibur Maasel, the Ran presented the first five lines are just the question of Tosfos. He presented the exact same question of Tosfos. What do you do with the difference between Lulav HaYavesh being possible and Esrei Chosher being kosher? So let's pick it up from the first one lines of Parkina. First one lines of Parkina, it's about 5-6 lines down from the beginning of the Dibur Maasel. So at the end of the line. Yesh lomad inoch inami, de besheni nami bo idan hadar. You need hadar on the second days and all subsequent days as well. Behind the timer, the machshirim lekaman esrog shel gvuach barim. I said, how could an esrog kosher, a esrog choser, was either bitten by mice, the Gemara talks about, or bitten Rabbi Hanina? How could it be kosher? Gevalt. Don't you need Hadar? So first of all, the Ran's Kasha. Would Tosfos even ask that Kasha? Tosfos said that it's true, Nebuch, we have to pass the Psuli Hadar after the first day, because Nebuch was stuck with Zekeh ben Vey. What can you do? But Esrei Chosher, which is not a Chisaron of Hadar anyway, so don't bother me with. Tosfos learned that Esrei Chosher is not part of Hadar. The reason why there's a piece missing from your esrog, why it's possible, because it's not pretty. It's a beautiful esrog. It's missing a little piece. So why is it possible, according to Tosfos, not do it other? Why is it possible, according to Tosfos? Did we ever ask that question? According to Tosfos, why is an esrog a chos possible on the first day? Tosfos got finished saying it's not other. It's not a chisod of other. So the only other way to explain why an esrog a chos is possible is because the Gemara says, "Vilkachtem lochem." That you have to take all four minim. How do you know you have to take all four minim? Because you need a lekicha wa?
Tama.
Kicha tama. Tosfos must have held. So briskei what? The two minim lekicha tama. Lekicha tama means you need all four species. You can't take two out of the four. And lekicha tama means each one has to be complete and whole and perfect. And if you're missing a part of the yeser, that's a chisar. Lekicha tama, but it's nish chisar and hadar. That's clear from the Tosfos. Because Tosfos said, Psuli Hadar Taka do carry over, and Chosher doesn't carry over. You see, Chlor, that Chosher, that Psul Hadar. But the Ran is not going down that route of Chlor. The Ran is saying, Hadar's a problem, Hadar's a problem, Hadar's a problem. So why is an Esrog Chosher kosher? Listen to this, says the Ran. Mishum de Mekayim the Hadar, the Masha Nisha Mimenu. Ye Yantzei Hadar, it's okay, it's still called the Hadar, you know why? 95% of it is still pretty looking. Yeah, the part that's bitten into it doesn't look too nice, but 95% is still pretty. And that's still called Hadar. So what do you have? I don't understand this Ran. B'chol, I don't understand the Ran. The Ran is clearly learning against Tosfos, clearly learning that Chosher is a Chisaron in Hadar, because otherwise he wouldn't have asked the Kasha in the first place. And now he's turning around and saying, no, it's okay, it's still called Hadar because 95% is still Hadar. So the Ran should be guilty of overkill. What's the overkill? If it's still called Hodr based on the 95% left, so then what?
What's the problem?
What's the problem when? On?
The first day.
The first day. Elder, you're going to tell me, say, Moshe, just pick up your, I don't care. I'm a very easy guy. I go either way. I got an esrog in front of me. It's a beautiful, gavaldic, wonderful esrog. It's got a little bite mark in it. So I just, beauty's in the eyes of the beholder. You tell me what you think. You think it's beautiful or not? If you think it's beautiful, great. You think it's not beautiful, I'm also fine with that. But one thing I'm not fine with, you tell me, it's beautiful vis-a-vis the second day. It's beautiful because after all, 95% look of it's, you know, untouched. But vis-a-vis the first day, it's got that speck over there, that big bite mark, that's enough to pass on the first. I understand. Marushach, if you just make up your mind, you think the din of Hodr carry over or not? If the basic din of Hodr carries over, and you're telling me that Chosr is a din of Hodr, so then it should carry over in its entirety. How can you change the standards of what's called beautiful from one day to the next?
Why can't you change the standards since one is deraisa and one is more strict?
No, but that's the pure lomdus. The lomdus that the Ran is saying, the Ran is developing categories for us. The Ran is saying that psule hodr carry over. Because the Gemara says, luva yovah should post after the first day, psule hodr carry over. And the Ran did not believe that Taisa is right. That Esrog HaChosr is possible because L'kicha Tama. The Ram L'kicha Tama only means what the Gemara calls it, namely all four species. There is no din that each species has to be intact completely. There is no such halacha. So the only psul we can never label with Esrog HaChosr is, the worst thing called is a lack of hodr. So if you're calling it a lack of hodr, so then have you turn around and be makshir on the second day? The answer is, it's not really a lack of hodr. Okay, and if it's not really a lack of hodr, why is it a lack of hodr the first day? So there's a problem, and truly there's a problem in the Ram. So the Ran continues. The Ran says, don't bother me about Lulav HaYavish. Lulav HaYavish is a disaster. Why? Because not the Kol Hadaroi. It's totally a disaster. It's dry from top to bottom. There's not a speck of beauty left to it. And then he throws in the Rishalmi for good luck. For Amr Rishalmi. HaYavish was shivu yiloha meisin aluka. Hukach gorat fei ma she'en kem benavu achbarim. Shemekayim by Hodor, b'mashen yeshuvimenu. So the Ran still has to explain himself. He has to explain this discrepancy, why he's lowering the standards within the psul hodr that fundamentally does carry over. He's got to explain to us what the difference is. So listen to what the Ran says. Let's skip down a little bit, about 2-3 lines. The first one is a mashma. Now he's going to explain to you the lomdus. Umashvali, he's going to fall back on what Dr. Fisher said, but he's going to give you a lomdus to it. Umashvali, the Hainu Taima. She'ilu omra Torah beferush b'nekev v'chaser kol shu posel. If it would have said in Parshas Emma v'davashim v'shalemor, your estro can't have a hole in it, apeshenu shu deber min posel no son. Then we would have had to say, all the dinim carry over. All details carry over. Why? To hold the tikkun rabbanon, can't erase the tikkun. Because that's the starting point. What's the baseline of the Ran? Almost the exact what? Opposite of Tosfos' baseline. Tosfos' baseline, basically everything's okay for proven. Otherwise, the Ran is enough. Al absolum carry over. But listen to why we're willing to negotiate and we have a little bit of wiggle room in the psul of chaser. Aval hakosuv lo parat v'hodr klum. The Torah never told us the details of Hodr. There's no possible chumash that says the din of Hodr. Ela sasa v'omar shetei mitzvah zumuderes. The Torah gave a general phrase called Hodr. It has to be beautiful. So who decides what's beautiful or not? So the Ran invokes the principle that appears in other areas of halacha. U'misara l'chachomim. The entire institution of the details of Hodr. What makes this esrog Hodr not Hodr? So Mesara Kosan El Chacham. What does that mean? What does the Mesara Kosan El Chacham mean? That's a principle we find in other areas of Halacha. What it basically means is that we're used to thinking the world is black and white. Either there are Isis or there are Abundance. There's an area of gray in Halacha. That area of gray is called the Mesara Kosan El Chacham. There are many Dinim, probably most Dinim there Isa, where the details are spelled out. Sometimes in the Tosh Lechsav, sometimes in the Tosh Vapeh. And sometimes the details were never spelled out. There was a basic concept that was Nimsa Rabbi Shabbeinu, and it was given to the Chachmei Hador to decide What details fleshed out to make that concept practical? What are the practical ways of fulfilling that concept? Once Chazal determined what those practical details are, that is the din d'oraisa. It's not a tchas chum, that's a din d'oraisa. But the klal was given to Moshe Rabbeinu and the pratim were given to the chachamim. There's a very, very famous example. What's probably the most famous example? With the many Rishon Melechas Chol HaMoed is like that. Melechas Chol HaMoed, the Torah does not say Lo Sasekom Melocha. Lo Sasekom Melocha means 39 Melochas Mishka. That's the Torah definition of Melocha. And Yom Tov, it means Lamentas Melochas minus a couple of handful of Ochol Nefeshes. That, the details were given to Moshe Rabbeinu and Hasina. Lo Sasekom Melechas HaMishkan. Melechas HaMishkan is these 39. That was Nimsar, not the Chachamim, that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Chol HaMoed, it doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash Anah do Melocha Chol HaMoed. What did it say, Chol HaMoed? Mipav Kodesh. The Chagos Masoch Chag LaHashem. Shivas Yom Bashono. It's a special day. It's a Simcha Dika day. The concept that Chol HaMoed has to be different, has to have Kedushas Hayom to it, that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. What falls under the heading of a lack of Kedushas Hayom? L'Mesor Chosel L'Chacham. Once Chazal set up the guidelines, whatever they figured out, Tzorech HaYom was okay, but it's a Ma'aseh Ulman not so good, it's a Ma'aseh Rabbi maybe yeah, but it's a double Rabbi yeah. Whatever details they fleshed out, 25 blad and 90 blad and like got to try to flesh out the details of what year, what no. If a person goes ahead and violates the details of Chol HaMoed, he's over there, their eyes according to men Rishon. There are some Rishon, Rabbeinu Tam said the whole thing's Durabon. Hakom Miko Kol, there's no Miko Kedesh, the whole thing's Durabon. But the Rashbam, not Rishon, say, no, it's a deraisa. But the Sefer Chinuch writes, it's a deraisa with the details being Masorah Chos V'Chacham. That's exactly what the rabbi is saying here by Esrog as well. The Torah never said what passes in Esrog. The Torah just said, when you walk with the shul on Sukkot this morning, you better make sure that Esther is an extension of all the meaning, because we can makash all the meaning to each other. It's got to look gorgeous. You walk at the shul and it looks ugly and disaster and miserable, you're not Yetzim in the Torah. What's called ugly? It's a tough call. That's what you have to learn. All the girls have to figure out what's called ugly, what's not called ugly, what's called pretty, what's not called pretty. Says the Ran, since the nature of this din was mitchila, never given with details, listen to how that plays out for us, the mice of his manazel. Listen to this Ran. I'm sure you saw it from the Ran. The Ran says, once you tell me that's all up to us to make the rules, so we're going to say, is an Esrog with a little bit of a bite mark, is it pretty or not? You know what the Ran says? It depends what the event is. The Marshal Havel of Havdalos. A person can get, it's not in the best of shape, but okay. You know, if I wear a tie like this on a Tuesday night to say a shiur, you know, well, okay, it's all right. If I come to my own chassid wearing a tie like this, I don't know. Yes, the sound would smell that. I'm wearing an old suit. I wouldn't walk to show Yom Tov with this suit. The age for age, there's beauty, there's beauty. So Zok the Ran, for the Deraisa, you better have an Esrog without a bite mark in it. For the Derabbanan, it's also it's good enough for a Tuesday morning. It's good enough for Hoshana Rav. It's good enough for, third day Chol HaMoed. That's okay. It's beautiful enough. If it wouldn't be beautiful at all, if it would be ugly, outright despicable, that's Vulva Yovish. It can't be Yotze, because the Chamo Misake, Alehidim, Alehidim of Hodor Spilova. So this is a Yisoy from Ran. This is a love. This is an action-packed Ran. This Ran is Mamish, Mamish. Yeah. This is the kind of Ran you have to sit and digest and think about. About he just redefined all the whole essence of our whole take of Dalaminim. The whole Yisoy of Dalaminim is that there never really was a Halacha Moshe Sinai. This is possible. Yes, possible. Yes, possible. This kosher is possible. None of that's true. All the Mishnayos that say Pitam's off is a problem. This is off. It is a problem. And it looks like this is Chazos. This is good. These were not details to Moshe Rabbeinu. These are Masar Chos L'Chacham. That's a statement around. I'm not saying you want to read the Masar. That's what the Ram says. So we might say we have two different Mahalchim now in Rishonim to explain what is the difference between a Luv Hayovish being possible all week and Esrog Chos being kosher after the first day. According to Tosfos, one is a psul hodor, one is a psul chaser. Chaser is a separate, independent psul. Details don't carry over. Only the din klom carry over, and a quirk hodor carries over nevach because of the kelevin. according to the Ran, there is no discussion here of chaser altogether. As long as you have four minim on the table, there's no chisaron of chaser altogether. Everything is a chisaron, everything is a potential soul of hadar, but the standards of hadar change depending on the degree of the mitzvah, depending on what the significance of the event, and what enables, the engine that enables us to make that statement is because the details of hadar were never given anyway to Moshe. Rabbi, can we come up with another chat, another beer in Rishonim to explain the discrepancy between the two sugyas? Why is it that Lulu Yavish is possible and Esu Yachasar is okay? Can we come up with our own? I mean, Rishonim have it, but we should be able to come up with the basis of things we spoke about in the past. Why was Lulu Yavish possible? Very, very unclear. The Gemara says, I'll be in Hadav Aleka. Who remembers Machat Rashi? Rashi said it's rooted in the Kiel Vinveya, that said it's rooted in the word Hadar. And then there was
the
Raven. The Raven discovered the Yerushalmi. Moshtay from Yerushalmi. And therefore the Raven said, when it's dead, it's not here. Remember we said, based on the Raven, when it's dead, it's not here. That's why Yavshagapa by Karbonos, remember the wing is missing. That's why everybody should talk about the arm for tefillin missing. We even wanted to extend it to brain death, maybe the head's missing. We took this all over the world, all over Kol Kula, this idea of Yavish's command, the Leis Adami. According to the Rav, it's a no-brainer why you love a Yavish as possible. No, it's not here. It doesn't exist. It's a Lulav Yavish. The Nesek HaChoser is not here. That's not part of the Yesuk, is not here. The Yesuk's here. That would be tantamount. I think we gave the Moshe Reb Chaim. The Yesuk Reb Chaim, how come it doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that an Yesuk HaMork of a grafted Yesuk is possible? No. Everyone says Yesuk HaMork. It doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch ever. So you know, Reb Chaim's response was? He said it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch that an apple is possible. Because it's not an Yesuk. It says in Shulchan Aruch. It's taken out an Yesuk. An Yesuk HaMork. It's not an Yesuk. It's a one. It's a half one. So according to the Rebbe, you don't have an Esrog here. So of course you're not Yitzchak. You don't have a Lulav Emes at Anas. You don't have a Lulav Emes. It's a Lulav Yavish. What would follow a Gevaldik Akula, a Meiridik Akula, according to this Rebbe?
Use a Chaser Esrog on the first day, maybe.
Well, the first day of the Barsh says is no good. That's no good.
But the other Psuli Hadar.
There are half a dozen other Psuli Hadar. There's so many other Psuli Hadar. According to the Rebbe, all the Psuli Hadar are kosher after the first day. According to Tosfos, what's the answer to that question? All psuli hadar are possibly after the first day. Why? Because kachtik we should meet the mitzvah. Don't bother me, says Tosfos. All psuli hadar are possibly after the first day. That's the way it is. It doesn't fit the rules, but that's the way it is. According to the Ravid, there is no such klal. All psuli hadar are basically kosher. A little bit yavish is the cork, is the exception to the rule. According to the Ran, what's the answer? According to the Ran, it's the toughest answer. Why? It's the least clear answer. Why?
It's a value way.
You have to look. You have to have Ruach HaKodesh to figure out, is this a kind of a tie that's no good for Tuesday night, or is this no good for the wedding? I mean, is this a bad enough hadar, so lacking hadar that's going to be possible for the whole week, or not? I have no idea how to make that call. I know Lulav Yavish is bad. I know Nesu Chaser is okay. Everything in the middle, I have no idea. I don't know. It's got a chazosis. It's got a pimple of yes. I don't know. I have to figure it out. But according to Tosfos, the answer is they're all possible. According to the Ravid, they're all kosher with the one quirk exception.
But the kasha and the Ravid is our Gemara that says hadar.
Right. So that was all part of the original kasha when we first had the Rishonim. The Rishonim kind of glossed over that. The Ravid himself said that, yeah, the Gemara just linked onto the pasuk in Chumash of hadar, but it wasn't really, really good. The real emes of soul was hadar. You're right. We saw that Ravid in Hilchos Lulav Ravid. It's very hard to understand that, but nice, that's what the Ravid says. The Ravid says the emes is what it says in the Rishonim.
So the Rebbe does not believe in Psuli Hadar? Is he using the Ran's like Svara? How does he?
I mean, after the first day, on the first day, they're Psuli Hadar. But the Rebbe is saying that Yavish is not Hadar. Yavish is not Psuli Hadar. Yavish is much worse than Hadar.
I understand that side. If it's dead, it's Kamad Leka. But what about the other side? I mean, how does he just excuse all of
them? Well, we have no idea. There's no other Gemara. The only Gemara that says that, potentially says Hadar is possible after the first day, is only our Gemara that says Lulav Yavish is possible. But according to the Rebbe, Lulav Yavish is possible because it's Kamad Leka, and then we have no precedent to possible up pimples on his rug and other kinds of problems. So Rabbi Sai, three different mahalchim, Gedolei HaRishonim, from Tosfos to the Ran to the Ravid, but they all agree to one nekuda. There's one thing that's chik b'layav in all these Rishonim. Go back to our Gemara. They all read one word in our Gemara identical.
Yom Tov
Sheni. Yom Tov Sheni. What do we know that? I don't mean the words of the Sheni, I mean the era in Jewish history that the Gemara is discussing. It's talking about when?
Post-Mikdash.
Post-Mikdash. That's the Chitvul Yavar. The word Yom Tov Rishon Yom Tov Sheni means, Yom Tov Rishon means the first day when it's Deraisa. Yom Tov Sheni is a code phrase for the Rabbanon, for post-Akonis of Yom Zakeh. That's Chitvul Yavar. Now, having detailed machlokes as to, well, which didn't do carry over, which didn't don't carry over. But nobody so far has questioned Taitch in the Gemara. Until we go back to the Ran. Back to the Ran again. In the Gemara base, it's the very bottom, two lines on the bottom. And now the Ran quotes the biggest breakthrough in the Sugya is the Ramban. The Ramban is a long, long Ramban in the Chazlulav, and there's a Sugya on the right, and we'll just see a little bit of it inside of the Ramban. 2 months above, the Ramban's altirates. The Ramban says that everything we've been saying up to now is fundamentally flawed. The Vadai Tana Bakule Pirkin, Kapusik Vatani, Yom Tif Rishon, Loshta Yom Tif Sheni, Mu Yom Tif Sheni de Shmaisin, Lo Domi Yom Tif Sheni de Itma de Shmaisin de Esen Shek Voach Borim. Although the Gemara uses the same words don't always mean the same thing. Mishon, the Yom Tif Sheni de Shmaisin, the Hocha, Hainu Shel Torah. It means the second day on subsequent days of Yom Tov of Chol HaMoed, if and when Lulav is Deraisa, namely where? The Mikdash. The Mishnah in Daf Chav Tes is talking, Bizman Shev Yisrael, all the other Rishonim said, the Mishnah is post Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. The Ramban says wrong, historically when the Mishnah is pre Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Bizman HaMikdash. And the Gemara's comments on the Mishnah, the Gemara is talking in Mikdash terminology. When the Gemara observes in our Mishnah, Loshna, you have to be Shani, that means Bizman Shev makes a Mikdash Akaya. The kula masnis in the pirkin, shall play the ayri. Says the Ramban, our entire perek is dealing with the mitzvah deraisa d'alabina. Now, even though it's true the mishnayos were written or put together, whatever happened in the days of Yudah Nasi, but they didn't like start from scratch. They're accumulations of generations of generations of generations. These mishnayos, these terms, these have been around from the days of the 150 years before, argues the Ramban. When does Lulav the Rabbanan enter into the world of Mishnayos? Look at the round at the top of your down. The Loaskina Mishal Devrim Klaal, and Masnisin Disnan and Dachmer Malf, 12 lot later, the Rishon and Lulav Nitab Mikdashim and Dinyam Echad. So the progression of the Mishnayos, you're learning Mishnayos, when you're learning Lulav Agozel, you didn't even know this at the Kodesh of Yechon Zachar yet. Because the Mishnah's not even talking about, not even addressing that to come. That's the Rabban's. Stylistic, it was literary proof that the Mishnayos don't even introduce it in the Rabban until 12 lot later. Hilkach, Kulei Psulun de Mastisa, Lo Shna Biyot Pefrisha, Lo Shna Biyot Pesheni Shal Torah. Therefore, when you're dealing with the mitzvah D'Araisa of Dalad Minim, the Mikdash, everything's puzzle. Not only is the Lulav Yavish puzzle, what else is puzzle? Catch this one. And that's the Chassel is a puzzle. Tosfos is bending over backwards and says, gee, how come the Yavish Pasul and Tzachos is kosher? What's the answer? Wrong. They're both Pasul. Well, come on, Mishmaisa, the Esrog, Shirek, Vurach, Varim, who be Yanta Shal Devrayim? Rabbi Chanina, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Yudah Nasi, that's 150 years after the Korban. The Alpha Gav, the Snan, the Mecca, the Chos, the Kosher, also Bishal Torah, Bishan, Shal Devrayim, the Kosher. Rabbi say, what emanates from the Ramban's Psha? That there is absolutely no difference at all between the Psule Hadar, the Psule Chaser, the Psule Yavish, they're all the same. They're all Pasul when? B'mikdash for the whole week? And they're all Kasher when?
Even the first
thing.
They're Ramban. I said the first thing. They're all Pasul B'mikdash the whole week. Right? That's what the Mishnah says. And no. But the Rabbanon, when Bizman Hazeh, after the first day, they are all kosher. Even in what? Even Lulav Yavish.
But what was the part of Havmi, and why was it even commenting on that there's no difference between Yom Tov Rishon?
Oh, because the Rabbanon is trying to build up to get to the Lachem part, because Lulav Agrozel should be that. The whole thrust of the sugya is not really lulav yavush. It's all lead into the lulav goes.
Why would you make a difference by lechem?
Oh, that's the next trick. So according to the Ramban, we just came to the realization that even mikdash, lulav shel mikdash, there's no din of lechem after the first day. The lechem doesn't carry over midaraisa. According to all that we've shown, there's no raya for the Gemara to that statement. Right? But according to the Ramban, the raya brewer from this Gemara, that lechem doesn't. Why? The Ramban himself tackles. We'll just end with a quick note. Those were we here the first day, so we mentioned this. What?
We talked about this
a little bit on the first, one of the first days. About Abba Yaakov. So I told him if he goes to a Shalayim, he should bring his little Vanessa. So you know what he told me? Yeah, that was one day. And then I spoke to him later at Cholamoy. And I said, did you go any day Cholamoy? He said, yeah, I went to Cholamoy. He said, did you bring your Lubin Esrix? You know what he said to me? I didn't bring it, but I borrowed somebody's Lubin Esrix. So I didn't have the heart to tell him. According to the Rabban, you were good. But I think according to other Rishon, maybe you could also, but maybe have to figure out that point. But according to the Rabban, it's Klor Zdegu Yetzir. Even with Mikdash Mamish, Bizman, and Mikdash Akayim, in the base, Mikdash Tavu Yetzir, because that's exactly what the Gemara says. Even though the Gemara is talking about Mikdash. So Rabbi Saiva comes out is that unlike Tosfos, unlike the Ravid, unlike the Ran, that there are certain limitations on Dal Aminim, certain psulim do carry over, whether all carry over, some carry over, only with the Yavish is possible. There are some limitations after the first day. According to the Ramban, we are good to go after the first day. Nothing matters. So there's only got a little bit of Esrog, basically, but nothing matters. This Ramban could save people in Eretz Yisrael a lot of money next year. Hopefully, everybody will make this Ramban.
Shabbos.
First day Shabbos, there's no first day. Right? The second day is already Cholamot. For us, Nebuch, we have to keep all the Chumash for the first day and the second day of the Ramban. It's a big deal, but Eretz Yisrael. So when the first day falls on Shabbos, there's no D'Arayis at all. You don't even have to buy a lulav. Just use last year's. You know, Bar, who's last year's lulav? I Yavish, who cares? You can use last year's Esrog. I Yavish, who cares? Last year's Hadassin Aram, who cares? It's fine. It's Het HaGomor. Going to Ramban's Het HaGomor. I didn't say we follow this Ramban, but this is the Ramban's break. So hopefully it's Shem the next year. We'll try to put together some piece of this. Next Tuesday, I'll be in Eretz Yisrael next week. So next Tuesday night, we'll have a Shia. Hopefully, I should be back by Tuesday morning. The following, so hopefully by Tuesday night, we'll have two.